so much. I've enjoyed all the special singing. I've enjoyed all the singing, the congregational and the special singing. And I'm glad, I'm so thankful. I'm glad the anchor holds. Amen. Now, just in case you're wondering, what's the anchor holding to? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 that our hope is as an anchor that's steadfast and sure. And every now and then you can feel the tug of the anchor pulling me that way. Amen. That's where I'm headed. I'm headed toward heaven. You say, where is heaven? Well, it's where God is. I couldn't tell you. Listen, I don't know that you can Google map that. But you get to Jesus, you're headed in the right direction. Amen. You're headed toward heaven when you go through Calvary. I know you have to pass through Calvary to get there, but I couldn't tell you exactly other than it's, well, in the abode of God. It's where God is, and I'm thankful for that. I know John saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, and that's where we're headed, we that are saved. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm very, very grateful. Take your Bible, please, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I want to get into a second of three or four part little mini series here on the thought of sanctification. And we started out last week and I gave you a few thoughts, and so I want to just really hone in on a couple of things and then add something to that, and that'll be where we finish this morning on that third point. Now there's about five, and so we'll not try to get them all in. I want to make sure you get this. Sanctification is very important to the believer. Now, a lot of people, when they think of sanctification, think of just one thing, and that is, well, y'all live right. Well, certainly y'all live right. If you're a Christian, y'all live right. But now, what does that look like? How is that going to be accomplished? What leads us to desire to live right? And so I want you to see what the Apostle Paul, writing to this church at Thessalonica, and we've said many things about the church, and Paul has given some admonition to the church at Thessalonica. And he's mentioned this word sanctification a few times. The word sanctification means set apart. It means to be separated from, unto, or unto from something. And so God has sanctified his people. We said last week, if you'll recall, that sanctification is part of the justification process. In other words, when you get saved, now if you're here today and you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, well, God wants to save you. And when you get saved, now listen, when you come to Christ the Bible way, now, I've heard people say, well, I'm going to get saved in my way. Well, now, there's no such thing as that. We get saved the Bible way. The only way to get God's salvation is through God's way of salvation. And so the Bible calls that justification. And justification is when a sinner is declared righteous before God. All of our sin is forgiven. And we are declared righteous before God. And we are sanctified. That is a past work. So when Jesus saves us, we are sanctified. And that is a positional effect of sanctification. So, you know, when I got saved, I got placed. When you got saved, we get placed into the body of Christ. And so that initial work of sanctification comes with justification. Now, we skipped the middle and we went to the end and said there's part of an ultimate sanctification. Remember that. Involved in this total, and if you'll just look down at your Bible just for a moment, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse number 23, the Apostle Paul said, "And the very God of peace sanctify," there is our word, "sanctify you wholly." Now this is not H-O-L-Y, it is completely. God wants to sanctify us completely. God wants to complete the work that He began when He saved us. And to the extent, and this is where this third part of sanctification comes in. Notice what He said. He wants to sanctify us spirit, look in verse 23, and soul and body. Now, the body is ultimately going to be sanctified. And right now, it is kind of fluctuating because we live in this flesh. But I want to tell you, one day, according to the Word of God, and the Word of God is always right, this corruptible shall put on incorruption. Are you listening to me? And this mortal shall put on immortality. And so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then and then only shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, part of that word victory means a metamorphosis, a triumph over something. And one day God is going to bring to the realization that death is triumphed, and our flesh is going to experience that victory. I know it in my heart, but I'm going to experience it one day, because death is going to be swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, Paul went on to say, where is thy sting? Now listen carefully. Oh, grave. See, so the grave also is going to be something that God is going to cause us to triumph. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? So death is going to have victory over. As a Christian, we have victory over death. Are you listening? As a Christian, we have victory over the grave. This is part of the ultimate sanctification. The ultimate sanctification that we receive when we get saved, we receive that positional. And because we're in Christ and Christ conquered death, hell, and the grave, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're going to conquer that. You know what Paul said after that? He said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us, here's our word again, the victory. So he spoke about victory over death in 1 Corinthians 15. He spoke about victory over the grave in 1 Corinthians 15. And now he says, we are going to receive the ultimate victory when we receive our ultimate sanctification, which means that those who he, in Romans 8, justified, he sanctified. And those who he sanctified, he glorified. Brethren, in other words, can I just break it down in our everyday vernacular here in Madison? We're going to heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. If you're saved now, if you're saved, according to Philippians chapter 3, our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven. And one day these old vile bodies, Paul said, is going to be resurrected. And we're going to be fashioned like unto the body of the resurrected Christ. It's a reality, brethren. So we're just as good. If you're saved, you're just as good as in heaven. Now, why did God leave us here? Well, He has set us apart for a work even here. And that's where, well, our practical, and we're going to talk more about our practical sanctification. All right? So I hope you got that. When you got saved, God set you apart. You don't belong to you anymore. I'm going to say that again. You do not belong to you anymore. You have been bought with a price. Thank God you got purchased. Amen. You've been redeemed. That's what it means. You've been redeemed. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, the Apostle Paul said, you ought to glorify God. You are to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Why? Because they belong to God. I belong to God now. Now, the songwriter said, I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. Amen? And not just for this world below, but for all eternity. Aren't you glad you belong to the Lord? And so, we have been sanctified when we got saved. And God is going to complete that because He, Philippians 1, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And so there is no such thing as being saved and then being unsaved. There's no such thing as that. Biblically, there's no such thing as that. And so we have been sanctified. We've been set apart. We belong to God. We're His now. We're His. Now, why does God set us apart? Take your Bible and turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy. I'm going to ask you to turn to some scripture this morning. 2 Timothy, would you turn there? In 2 Timothy, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, when Paul is praying in 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll get back there, he's praying, I pray, God, that your whole body, your whole spirit, he started with the spirit, your whole spirit, soul, and body be sanctified, be preserved. He said, I'm praying God will finish that work that he began in you, and that you will work with him. And we'll get to this in just a moment. You will yield to him so that he can bring to fruition all the things that he has for your life. Don't block now what God wants to do in your life. Don't block what God wants to do. You say, well, God will overrule me. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Let's see what the scripture says. What saith the scriptures? In 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is writing, and he said in verse number 1 of chapter 2, he said, there, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He said in verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. He said, now Timothy, you need to realize that God has set you apart. And he set you apart so that he could use you in the way that he purposed for your life. Now, sin has disrupted God's purpose for man. When we come back to God through Christ, God now wants to fulfill that purpose that he has for our lives. And here's what Paul told young Timothy. Look, if you would, in verse number 19 of chapter 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Don't just go around saying you're saved. Live like it. Don't just take Jesus' name, take his image. Because part of the sanctification process is we're being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Right, church? That's part of the sanctification process, the practical. Now, positionally, we're in Christ. That's fixed. That's not changing. Amen. And so all that are in Christ that have trusted Jesus, you are sanctified and you're going to be glorified. No doubt. It's going to happen. It's as good as already happened. We're just waiting. But in betwixt of those two fixed, the past positional, the future ultimate sanctification, there is a fluctuating that is practical. And we're going to talk about that. But I want you to notice what Paul told young Timothy. Why? Pastor, why? Why am I to allow God to work in my life to bring to fruition this conforming process of becoming like Jesus? Notice what he said here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. He said, you know, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself. Now we're going to get talking about some practical things, some things where you need to get involved, where I need to get involved in allowing the Spirit of God that is in me, in you. Every Christian possesses the Holy Spirit. For if any man have not, Romans 8:9, the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Right? You understand the Spirit of God lives in you. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And he wants to, as we yield to his leadership, he wants to purge some things from our lives. Why? Because we're sinful, brethren. I think sometimes we just take it so lightly how corrupt and sinful we are, and how depraved. It's easy to see it in other people's lives, but when we look in the mirror, we think, well, you know what? You're pretty good. I hope to God I never get to that place in my life. God spare me from that. Brethren, there's nothing outside of the realm of sin. There's nothing inside of the possibilities of sin that this this person right here, your pastor, is not capable of without the help of Almighty God. And I need to yield to the Holy Spirit of God so that I would not do the unconscionable, so I would not do the unthinkable, so that I would not do that that would degrade and defame the name of Christ. You do too. He said, now, Timothy, God has a plan for you, but you're going to have to yield to Him, son. And you're going to have to allow Him to work in your life. You can't just sit down with the Bible on your coffee table and watch some social media church and expect your life to change for Jesus. You're going to have to work with the Holy Spirit as He works in you. Yield to the Holy Spirit as He calls and as He guides and as He leads you. Follow His leading. Let Him purge out those things. You don't possess it in yourself. This preacher doesn't possess it in himself to overcome sin. I tried and I tried and I tried before I got saved. And brother, I'm going to tell you, I seen my utter weakness. It was futile. But now that I'm saved in the grace of God, God is my helper. And God allows me, you see, to this purging process. He's wanting to put some things out of my life. He's wanting me to become more like Jesus, which in essence is sanctified, more holy. God wants me to be more holy. God wants you as a Christian to be more holy. He wants you to be practical in this sanctification process. Why, preacher? Well, let's read on in verse number 20. He said, there's some of honor, the latter part, and some of dishonor. If a man, verse 21, therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Here it is, sanctified. God's not going to use someone who's resisting, who will not allow Him to work in their life. God's not going to bring to fruition all that could be done in a person's life when they're not obeying His word, when they're rebelling against His clear teaching. Amen. God's not going to do it. And so He said, now, Timothy, He said, you need to allow the Spirit of God to speak to you and guide you, and then there needs to be some things purged from your life. And if you will, then you shall be that vessel of honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, how does that happen? Because that's a mouthful, preacher. It sure is. And yet God says it can happen in your life. God wants to conform me to Jesus Christ. I'm a long way, brethren. I have a long way to go. You say, well, does God really want that? Well, turn, if you would, to Romans. I see some blank stares. Sometimes we get so caught up. Now, listen to me. We get caught up, I'm just sinful. And, brethren, we are sinful. Listen, I'm not in any way minimizing that. We're sinful creatures. But yet, can I tell you, God has a standard of holiness. And God has given us of His Holy Spirit that we could become more like Christ. That's the plan, brethren. You understand that, right? I think sometimes we Baptists have this mindset, well, you know, I just can't help it. I'm just weak, and I'm just an old sinner, so I might as well just accept it. No. You strive for the excellency of the knowledge in Christ Jesus our Lord. You put your best foot forward. You yield to the Holy Spirit of God. You fight temptation. You be like Paul. I'll be like Paul. We'll overcome. How did he word it there? We'll bring under our body. We'll buffet our body. 1 Corinthians 9. We'll bring it into subjection. Amen. We'll say no to some things we should say no to. With the help of God, that is. Amen. We'll say yes to some things that we should say yes to. We'll do our very best to be like Jesus said in Matthew 5. He said, be ye therefore perfect. Wait a minute, preacher. I'm not perfect. He said, I want you to be. Even as your Father in heaven is perfect. You be complete. You keep striving for the mastery. Don't you just accept, well, you know, this old flesh is sinful, so I'm just going to kind of let her have her way. Listen, that's a cop-out. God said, you learn what it is to yield to the Holy Spirit. You learn what it is to say no to some things you should say no to, and yes to some things you should say yes to. But preacher, I'm weak. Yeah, I am too. But but he's strong. Listen, let's not teach the little children, you know, I am weak, but he is strong, if we're not going to live it ourselves. Amen? We teach the little children, well, he's strong, but we're weak. Right? Well, let's practice it. Romans chapter 8, I hope you're there. The scripture says this, and we all know verse 28. The scripture says in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now this is the working of God in your life as a believer. He called you, he justified you. There is a sanctification process that's already taken place and that is going to happen when you're glorified. We're pulling out of here, we're getting our glorified body, and we will never sin again. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of just, that does me some good. I'm so sick of myself and my futile attempt to yield to the Holy Spirit. Weak. So I'm doing good, preacher. Well, praise the Lord. Keep it up. But there's temptation and sin lurking behind every corner. We just live in a fallen world. And we need the help of God. Can I tell you, there's a lost world out there that needs to see what biblical sanctification looks like in a believer's life. And so, what's it going to be? Well, we've been sanctified. We've been set apart. When we got saved, when we got justified, when God sees me, I have been declared righteous before God. He doesn't see me. He sees the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. For Jesus has become, he has become my sin that I might be his and accept his righteousness. And now when God sees me, he sees me through the righteousness of his son. And I can therefore be declared righteous before God. But there's a world out there that's looking, and they need to see what God has done and is doing in my life. They need to see what the power of God can do in their life. And that's where, as we go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, I want to give you a point here to add to that past, because we looked at that past sanctification, or that aspect. It's all one, but there's an aspect of sanctification that happens when we're justified. There's an aspect of sanctification that's going to happen when we get glorified. These are fixed, brethren. But now there's a practical. There's a practical. And it fluctuates. I mean, there's just times that I yield as I should, and there's just time I trust and I believe that you do. But then there's just times that, well, I don't. I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, when God calls, you ought to answer. When it's 5:30 in the morning, you have a decision to make. I had one to make this morning. You did too, whatever time God called you. You said, God called me? Yeah, he did. Get up. It's the Lord's day. Come on to worship. I'm glad for the call to worship. Some folks don't get the call. I'm glad I got the call. Aren't you? Amen. Don't you ever take that for granted now, brethren. Now let's look at this. So we talked about the nature of sanctification. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about the source. Now this is where it can get, if we're not careful now, it can get a little muddied, all right? So I want you to listen carefully. You say, well, now you said, sounds like God does it all. Well, I will say, look at the scripture here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. By the way, I wish I had time. I would like for you to go through. Paul has told these people here in Thessalonica, he said, this is what you need to do. You need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. We looked at some of it last week. verse number, chapter 4, look at that first. Chapter 4, verse number 3, he said, it's the will of God for even your sanctification. You should abstain from fornication. Sexual perversion should not be a part of your life. That's what he's saying. That's part of sanctification. That's practical sanctification, right? You following me? He says, so you ought to do that. Look at verse number 4 of chapter 4. He said, to everyone, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in what? Sanctification and honor. There's a word that he used to Timothy. The vessel of honor. Meet for the master's use. He said, you've got some work to do. Back in chapter number 3 and verse number 10, he said, I'm praying that your faith might be perfected because there's some things lacking in your faith. Verse number 12, he said, I'm praying that your love should abound. There's some things lacking in your love as a believer. And he just keeps naming stuff, brethren. And no doubt, as these people were reading this letter, they were thinking like you and I would think. Man, that's a lot. You know, you ever just feel overwhelmed? That's a lot. I can't do all this. Paul said, you're right. You can't. God's given you a helper. And so he said, here's my prayer for you. He's getting ready to wind the letter down. And he gave them these little quick hitters, right? After he told them some things to do in chapter number 5, you ought to just read it with this in mind. He's saying, this is what you need to do now. This is part of your sanctification. You need to know what it is to possess. You need to have some temperance in your life now. And he said, this is what you need to do right here. You need to do this. And then he hit them with those quick, rejoice evermore, verse 16. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. Don't quench the spirit. Despise not prophecy. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And they're thinking, my goodness. Man, this Paul's tough. He's hard on us. He said, oh, but listen. I'm telling you what God expects of you as a believer. This is what God has locked in you. Work it out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God sanctified you for these things. But how are we going to do it, Paul? He said, well, I'm praying that God would reveal to you this is how it's done. Look at it, verse 23. He said, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. God's going to be your helper to do all of this. God hasn't left you here without help. It's not your preacher either. Now listen, thank God for men of God. Thank God for servants. Thank God for people who will serve and teach and preach the word of God. Thank God for parents, young folks. Thank God for your parents that teach you and want to help you to get all that God has for you in this life. Thank God for Sunday school teachers and children's workers and all of the Christians that are involved trying to help people in their Christian experience. But I want you to notice what Paul said here. He said, God wants to get personally involved in your life in this matter of bringing these things to fruition in your life. If you'll look there, this is the source of sanctification. The source of sanctification is not in your pastor. It's not in a human being. He said, the very God, look at it now in verse number 23, the very God of peace. I love that term. Oh, he said, the very God of peace. What's that word very? It's as if he's saying this now. Listen to me. God himself. This is not a work for the angels or for servants here on this earth. God himself is going to get involved in the person of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to empower you to do these things. He is. You say, well, I think I'm just going to sit back and let God do it, Pastor. Well, how's that working? I'm serious. How's that working out? I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm just going to let God do it. I'm not going to witness to people. I'm not going to have a burden for souls. I'm not going to pray. I'm just going to let God take care of this whole sanctification process. That's not going to work out for you. Let me just help you here some. Please listen to me. Somehow God, and my mind, I told you when I started this, I cannot get my mind around all that God means when he talks about sanctifying us wholly. I've looked at every angle. I've done reading and studying. I've prayed, and I'm telling you, it's a God thing. You cannot fully put it into perspective. But I've got enough of it to know what God expects of me. I'm glad, though I cannot understand some things, God gives me enough to know what's expected of me and what I can expect from him. Amen. So what are we going to do? What's that going to look like for us? Look at it there. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The source. Here's the source now. Don't miss it. Here's the source of our sanctification. We saw the nature of it. God sets us apart for His service. God sets us apart so that we could serve Him, so that we could honor Him. We could be that vessel of honor, prepared. God wants to use you. You say, well, God wants to use preachers. No, God wants to use you. Listen to me now. God wants to use His children. And so in order to do that in a way that's honoring to Him, He's going to prepare you through sanctification to use you. He's the source. God Himself. Do you see that? I pray that you do. I pray that you do. Does God speak to you? Yes, He does. Did you read your Bible this morning? He spoke to you. That's right. God wants to use you. God wants to speak to you. God will tell you what to do, what not to do. Notice, if you would, here in verse number 23, he said, the very God of peace. Did you notice that? I wish I had time to turn through. I would encourage you to go and look in your concordance. I don't this morning. Look in your Strong's Concordance every time this title of God is used. The God of peace. 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 Over and over again. What are you saying, Paul? What are you saying? The God of peace. He says God wants you to experience peace. And the only way you're going to have peace is certainly you make your peace with God through justification. But in order for you to experience peace, God has to move on your behalf. Now listen to me. I hear people say, you say it all the time myself. You know, I made my peace with God. How did that happen? You think God just, you know, yielded to you because you decided one day you wanted to make peace with God? That's not the way that works. God took the first step. He's the God that not only gives peace, He is the God of peace. Listen to me now. Had God not been the God of peace, then none of us have peace with God. God took the first step. Please understand that. And He said, the God of peace wants to sanctify you. You don't have to be afraid of what God wants to do with your life. You don't have to be afraid of what God has for your life. Some people say, well, you know, I just don't know. God might send me to the mission field. Be the greatest thing ever happened to you. If that's His plan for your life. I just don't know now. I don't know. Well, I've seen people get close to God and God moves them. Well, you know what? If God does it, that's the best thing happened to you in your life. The God of peace. Aren't you glad that God is the God of peace? He's the God of peace, brethren. And He wants to sanctify you so that your life can be flooded with His peace. He set you free. Now He wants to give you peace. Amen. So I made my peace with God. No, God made His peace with you so that you can make your peace with God. I love God. No, God loved you first so that you could love Him. Amen. And so don't overlook the source of our sanctification. God has a peaceful plan. Now, it may involve some suffering. Are you listening? It may involve some tribulation so that we could understand what it is to lean on the God of peace. God wants to give peace. He's the source of our sanctification. God wants me to yield to Him. I want to ask you a question, and I'll bring this to a close this morning. But I want you to understand now, sanctification comes from God. I want you to understand that. But please don't read what I just said this way. Well, the preacher said sanctification comes from God. God is the source of sanctification. So I'm just going to just let God do it all. That's not what Scripture teaches. Romans chapter 6, and this is where we'll finish today in Romans chapter 6. The same human author and divine author, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, now here's your job. Here's my job. Here's my responsibility. You with me? God wants to sanctify me. He wants to make peace with me. He's the God of peace. I accepted His peace offer, and I came to Him, and I'm justified by faith, and therefore, I have peace with God. Now that I've been set apart, God wants to use me in this life. So he left me here with a purpose. In order to fulfill that purpose and become that vessel of honor, I need to be sanctified and prepared so that I could be meet for the master's use. And that's what this sanctification is that Paul's praying for here. Here. Now that you're saved, now that you've been set apart, I'm praying that you might completely fulfill what God left you here for. And the only way that's going to happen is if we yield completely to the Holy Spirit. Say, it can't be done, preacher. Well, now I beg to differ with that. It's called being filled with the Holy Spirit. When something's filled with something, there's room for nothing else. In Romans chapter number 6, in verse number 11, the scripture says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, whose responsibility is that, brethren? It's our responsibility. Likewise, look at it, verse number 11. Likewise reckon ye, you believers, you reckon yourself dead to sin and alive unto God. You do that. Look what else he said in verse number 12. You let not sin. You say, well, you's not there. It's understood. You let not sin, in verse number 12, therefore reign in your mortal body that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't you do it. Look at verse number 13. Neither should you. Now listen. Neither yield ye your instruments. Who's doing the yielding here? You are. Follow me. You are. I am. And until I do, then brethren, I'm hindering what God can do and through my life. As long as I am in control, God is limited in what he can do in my life. Let us not limit the Holy One of Israel now. Let us not say my will and not your will be done, but rather thy will and not our will be done. Amen. That's part of the sanctifying process. We have to yield to God. Yes, God wants to sanctify in this life so we can be that vessel of honor, so we can do what he's purposed for us to do in this life, but we have to yield to that. You don't think God's going to take you out of a chair and put you where he wants you to be without you saying, I'll go. Every missionary we support, at one point, God called them and said, this is where I want you to go. You know what they had to say? I'll go. That's how they got there. Yes. You say, preacher, this is simple. It's so simple that there's so many not doing it. My question to you today is, are you doing it? Are you yielding? Everyone's yielding to something. Look again in verse number 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. You're yielding. Or you can yield in verse number 13. You can yield your members as instruments of righteousness, the last part of it, unto God. You see that? So the source of sanctification is God. But now you've got to get involved. God wants to do something very special with your life. He is conforming us to the image of his Son. He has a work for you to do. So, well, God doesn't have anything for me to do. Well, every person that God saves, he has a purpose and a plan for their life. Amen? He will do it through the power of his Holy Spirit. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Now, you've got to yield. Don't resist. You can't say, well, now I'm going to do it this way. Well, what did God say? Well, I want it this way. Well, how does God want it? You see? It's really, let's not make it any more difficult than it is. We just yield to God. Lester Roloff, whether you agree with some things that he said or not, that's not the point this morning. The point is, I heard him say many years ago, every morning, Lester Roloff gets out of the bed and into the grave. He dies to himself. It seems like that's something that today's Christianity is fighting and battling with a lot. We don't like to die to ourselves. We don't want to die to what we want and say, God, we won't help what we want to coincide and align to what you want. I want to do your will, Lord. And I yield myself to you. I yield myself to you. Paul put it this way, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so if I'm going to be a part of this sanctification to where I'm sinning less, and I know that's hard for we Baptists. What do you mean? I didn't say being sinless. I said we're sinning less. And we're living more holy for God. And it just seems like that this teaching has kind of just gotten out of the church to where we just say, well, you know, we can't help it. We're sinners. I did say that was the last thing. I do want to show you something here, and then I will close with this. You say, well, it's about time. Well, okay. First Corinthians, turn there if you would, and I want to show you something that I think Christians get really mixed up. I think sometimes, have you ever been around someone, and maybe me, 1 Corinthians 15, and you heard somebody say this, I am what I am by the grace of God. How many of you have ever heard that statement? Raise your hand. I am what I am by the grace of God. Isn't it strange that we stop there? That's not all that verse of Scripture says. See, I am what I am by the grace of God means but God done it all. And he did. Thank God. Listen. But Paul said, that's salvation. But now when it comes to sanctification, he said, there was something I had to do. And he said, I've done it too. And he wasn't ashamed to say it. You in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? We're talking about sanctification. Practical sanctification. Present sanctification. What you and I need to be doing. We need to be sinning less. We need to be dependent on God more. I think John put it this way in John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's really what this comes down to. I need to live more like him and less like me. I need to depend more on him and less on me. You understand? And if we don't get this mindset and we don't quit using these excuses, well, we're sinners and, you know, well, sin is strong. All of that's true. All of that's true. The devil's on my heels. Oh, listen, the imps of hell. All of this is so, but we have the Holy Spirit. And we have the promises of his word. And he said, are you in 1 Corinthians 15? Look, if you would, in verse number 10. Here's our saying. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen. And I say amen 1,000 times. Praise the Lord. But that's not where the scripture ends. He said in verse number 10, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. How's that, Paul? He sanctified you. Yes, he did, but it wasn't in vain. I yielded to him and I labored, look at it, but I labored more abundantly than them all. Amen. Paul said, I had to do something with what he gave me. I had to do something with what he done in my life. And he said, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Had it not been God's grace that taught me what it is to yield? Had it not been God's grace to urge me and to teach me and to help me to understand what his plan was for my life? I probably wouldn't have got as excited about doing what God called me to do. How's the grace of God working in your life? Can you say I'm laboring? It is my goal to labor more than them all. You say, that's pride. Well, I'm just telling you what Paul said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. My goal is not to labor more than them all. Let's stand. My goal is to labor all that God has called me to labor. I have a race to run, and you do too. And when God saved me, he didn't save me to do what I wanted to do. He didn't save me to do what some church wants me to do or some preacher wants me to do. God saved me to do what he called me to do. And God saved you for the same purpose. But the only way that's going to come about is when we yield to him. It's called sanctification. And it means we follow his teaching, we follow his word, we follow his leading, so that we could become those vessels of honor, master's use. Let's bow our heads together. Now,